Okay, this is our final week this week on the topic of, do you have a seed? All right, so a quick recap. The very first week we said there's no point in looking for fruit if we've not planted anything. Not planted any seeds, then there's nothing growing in the ground. We brought two examples where Jesus finds a seed, not a physical seed, but a spiritual seed in a little boy's packed lunch. Just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But Jesus saw the potential for that to feed 5,000 people. And then we brought the example of the widow who was about to make some bread, and she had a little bit of oil, a little bit of flour. She's going to make her last meal, and then her and her son would die because they had nothing else. They were in the middle of a famine. She listened to what Elijah said, and she saw a seed in all of that, and a miracle took place, and she had enough bread to feed Elijah and her son and herself for the entire famine. It never ran out. Then last week we said we need to care for our seed and help it grow once we have planted it and not dig it up. And we brought the revelation that we only need faith the size of the seed, not faith the size of the mountain. So this week I want us to think about the following statement, and it's this: what we plant grows, but what we keep dies. So if we plant it in the ground, it's going to grow, but if we hang on to it, then it's not got much chance of growing. So imagine a packet of seeds. Now, sometimes these seeds are tiny. You might have 100 seeds in that little packet, and there's so much potential for growth. But if you never plant them and you leave them in the packet, there won't be any growth. There won't be any increase, and there won't be any blessing because they're still in the packet. I've got seeds at home in the cupboard, in the back hall cupboard, that have been in their packet for years. I don't know what the use-by date is on those seeds, but they have been there for years and I've never planted them, so they've never grown. I don't know what picture's on the front, I can't even remember. I'm quite sure carrots or something is involved. I'll never know how good those seeds might have been, how delicious, or if they're flowers, how beautiful. I will never know because they're still in the packet. They're just sitting there gathering dust. So here's my first question today. What's gathering dust in your life? What's just sitting there and we're not using it for God? If we never sow the seeds that God's given us, we'll never know how amazing they are or what a blessing they might be to us and to others. If we keep God's seed to ourselves, they won't get the chance to be a blessing. But if we plant them in the ground, they might grow into a harvest of 100-fold, 100 times that. So if I had a little packet of seeds and there was 100 little tiny seeds and I planted them and I multiply that by 100, that's 10,000. 10,000 seeds could come from that. You know, or 10,000 of a crop, it's amazing. You know, if Grace didn't bake those amazing cakes that she baked, none of us would know how delicious they were. And none of us can still understand how she gets them in the box from Marks and Spencer's, but there you go, you know. If I had a £10 note and I kept it in my pocket, well, it doesn't stand much of a chance of that these days, but if I just keep that £10 note in my pocket, it will never be worth more than £10. In fact, in this day and age, it starts to depreciate. We had a friend who told us once about an old auntie of theirs who passed away, and then when they went into her house to clean it out, they found money everywhere, under the mattress, in the bottom of the wardrobe, in shoe boxes under the bed. It was never invested. It would never be worth what it had been worth. You know, there was just thousands of pounds all over the house. But if I take that £10 note and I invest it and I put it in the bank, it will grow and be worth more because it will gain interest. You know, we've got to look at that. If I plant my seed in God's work and put it in what He's doing in His church, then it can grow to bless others. And that will bless me as well. And it also blesses God. So it's like a win-win all round. We don't have to be rich to bless God. Just plant what He has given you. And I want to make it absolutely clear that I am not talking about money today. That's not what I'm talking about. Obviously, we've had examples of money because it's an easy example. And if you want to apply it to money, then that's fantastic. I know that whatever you do give in God, he blesses you back for that, you know, a hundredfold. God's work does need money. But I am talking today about the gifts that God's put in our lives, about planting the gifts and talents that we have like a seed, using the ability that God's given us to increase God's work and to bless his church. Now, you could plant a seed of kindness today. You could plant a seed of love, of laughter, of friendship, of serving. Jesus gave us an amazing example of how to be a leader in the kingdom of God. And he got a basin of water and he washed his disciples' feet. It's not about being on the microphone. It's about serving. It's about helping others. You know, what I've learned in my role in leadership over the few decades that I've been in leadership is that it's about serving. It's about how can I serve this group of people? And Jesus gave that example of serving. It's about the little things. They're as important as the big things. A few weeks ago, Neil and I were in a local restaurant, and this older couple came in and they sat down and they were having their meal, and we'd finished our meal. And I just kept looking at the lady thinking, she just looks lovely. She just looks lovely. And I just thought, I'm going to tell her she looks lovely. I think they thought we were trying to mug them up first. So as we got up to leave, I just went over to that table and said, excuse me, I just wanted to tell you that you just look lovely. And she couldn't believe it. She said, I'm 83 and my husband's 87. She just couldn't believe that someone would tell her that she looked lovely. She said, you've made my day. She was overwhelmed by the compliment. And it was just such a small thing to go and tell her that she had some worth and value. On the other hand, several years ago, someone that I knew, they were going to a posh dinner. You know, where you need a new frock for it. It's a posh dinner. So I had hanging in my wardrobe a long, dark blue satin skirt, went all the way down to the ground. And this was this lady was quite tall, so I reckoned it would have fitted her. And it was from Monsoon, you know, so it was a nice long silk skirt. And I can remember just this thought crossed my mind, give her the skirt. And I thought, that can't be God. That can't be God. So I won't bother because I like that skirt and I've not had a chance to wear it yet, Lord. So I never gave her the skirt. And I'll never know what blessing I missed out on by not giving her that skirt. I still have the skirt. It's still in my wardrobe. And I've still never worn it because I've never had an occasion to wear that skirt. So I don't think it was meant for me to keep. It was meant for me to give away. But I missed out on the blessing. Folks, what we plant grows and what we keep dies. So look for a seed that you can plant, no matter how small it is, to encourage someone, to tell them they're looking good, to tell them you appreciate them. I want to read from Matthew 25. I'll just give you a little background to the story. This is a man, he's called the Lord in this because he's like the landowner. He's got plenty of money. So he lords it over the servants. He's not talking about Jesus per se, but it's this man. And he goes on a journey. And before he goes on the journey, he gives his servants a gift, each according to his ability. So to one servant, he gives 5 talents. To one servant, he gives 2 talents. And to one servant, he gives 1 talent. So don't read it just yet. Okay, he gives 1 talent. Now, a talent in the Bible was a measure of gold or silver. So it is talking about gold and silver in this story. And some translations will say one man got 5 bags of gold, one man got 2 bags of gold, and one man got 1 bag of gold. But I love the use of the word talent because it also can mean our talents and our gifts. So that's why I've chosen this translation. So Matthew 25 and verse 16 says this. Then he who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the owner came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered me 5 talents, and I have gained 5 more talents besides them. And the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. And the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And then he who had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. So if you want to find out what happens to that man, you'll need to read the rest of the story when you go home. Okay, so I'm just going to stop there. So we learn a lot from this parable. And again, it is not just about money. It's also talking about the talents and gifts that God's given all of us. We've all got talents. And he wants us to use our talents to grow his kingdom. So turn to someone today and say, I'm talented. Some people just can't do it, We need to believe that we're talented. We need to start to believe that. You know, we we've got more than one friend, but we know this lady in Edinburgh. You will never find this lady on the platform. You'll never find her on a microphone. If you're looking for her, look in the kitchens. Look in the toilets. Look for where she's cleaning. Look at where she's working. Find her at the sink with her sleeves rolled up. That's where you'll always find her. You know, I'd pick her for my church any day. Remember in primary school where you're all lined against the wall and you were getting picked for the football team or the netball team or the rounders game and you were last to be picked? Remember that kind of feeling? I would pick her first because of her servant heart and her attitude and just the sleeves rolled up. Her gifts might not seem important, but I can tell you this, they're more than important. Her gifts are essential. They're essential to God's church, and so are your gifts, whatever they are. There's another lady that Neil and I know, and she was the pastor's wife. And for years and years, she ran a great children's work with her husband, and they ran the whole church together. And then a few years ago, her husband passed away, and she became the cleaner of the church. So she went from the pastor's wife to the cleaner of her next church. And we met her recently at a wedding. I said, oh, how are you doing? She said, I'm doing great. She said, but I've just stopped cleaning the church because I just had my 80th birthday. So she's now 80. And she was cleaning right up till she turned 80 in the church. And she still wants to serve God. So no matter what your gifts are, God needs them and the church needs them, whatever they are. Even if it's just smiling at people, it's all essential. The 3 people in the story that we read were given gifts, and they were all completely different gifts of different values. And God didn't give them all the same. Different people have different abilities. We're not all the same. And God doesn't want us to be all the same because he doesn't want a clone of someone else. He doesn't want a clone of someone else because that would be boring. He wants us all to be different. God gives us different talents because he wants to use us differently. Get different talents. We know someone who is a businessman. He was running a very successful business. He stopped running the business to go into ministry in the church. He did that for a few years. It didn't really take off the ground that much. And as far as we know now, he's gone back into business. Neil and I never felt he was meant to be doing the church things full time. Obviously, he still contributes. He still blesses the church with his gifts. But we felt that he was meant to make money for the kingdom. And that's what he does now. He makes money for God's kingdom. I would say definitely on paper that he's a millionaire. He definitely got 1 million and probably got much more than that, you know, on paper. So he's quite well off, but he uses his money to bless God's kingdom. So find out what gifts God's given you. Be happy with them and use them to bless God and the work he's doing. Don't be jealous of someone else. It says in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. It says they're not wise. So don't go to comparethechristian.com because it's not wise. Because someone always comes up lacking, either us or the other person, you know? The Amplified Bible actually says they lack wisdom and behave like fools. So don't do it. Three different ways. It's not wise. They lack wisdom and they're behaving like fools. Don't compare yourself to other people. Just say, God, what have you given me? What can I use? Your gift may be different to mine, but they both have the same worth and value to God. And that's what's important. Listen to this quote by Andrew Womack. Not everyone is called to be the conductor of the orchestra. The person who only hits the triangle once during a concert is just as important. You know, if you've heard an orchestra playing and you've got one man with a set of cymbals and he's standing there and he's waiting. He's waiting for 10 minutes, 9 minutes, 8 minutes. He's doing the countdown. And the violin's doing its bit and the cellos are doing their bit and the woodman section and the piano. And everyone's doing their bit and it comes to this major crescendo where the whole piece is meant to finish with a massive big bang in the middle from these two cymbals. What if he went on his coffee break? It'd be a wee bit of a letdown, wouldn't it? You think, oh, that tune wasn't the same. Something was missing. What was missing? So we're all valuable. Everybody's part of the orchestra. It wouldn't be much of an orchestra if we all played the same instrument. There'd be no variety. That would be a bit boring as well. We've all got different talents because God has different jobs for us to do. He doesn't need two of them. He needs one of you. Whatever it is that you can do. The Bible said the body is made of many parts, and each part is essential to the whole body. You only need to have one little bit that's causing you pain, a sore shoulder or whatever, and you know all about it. I've broken a toe, different toe, but I've broken a toe twice now. And I can tell you, it may just be a small part of the body, but you know all about it. It was so unbelievably painful because I kicked the metal stand at full pelt of a keyboard thing. You know, the metal stand under the keyboard. I just walked full steam ahead, didn't see it in the half dark, and walloped my foot right into it and broke the toe. It went black, blue, green, purple, all sorts of colours. You couldn't walk on it for a few days. You couldn't get a shoe on. You're going around the house with one shoe and one slipper. You know, it was so painful. So we just need one small part not to be functioning properly, and it affects the entire body. God rewards us according to what he gave us, not according to what he gave someone else. The man with the five talents, God rewarded him according to what he gave him. And the man with the two talents, God rewarded him according to what he gave him. The servant with the five talents got the same reward, actually, as the servant with the two. And that's what I love about the story. Both of them used what they were given, even though it was different amounts. So in God's eyes, they were both equally faithful, both of them. They doubled what the master gave them. Even though one went from 5 to 10, one went from 2 to 4, the increase and the effort and what they gave God was the same, it was double. You know, if I've only got £10 in the bank and I give it to God, and Anne, who's obviously an extremely rich pensioner over there, she's got £100 in the bank and she gives it all to God, we've both given the same. We've both given all. God doesn't look at the amounts. It's the attitude of your heart and what you've given. So Anne's given all and I have given all. Both servants were faithful, and that's all that God is asking of us. And he said to both of them, well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share in your master's joy. Their giving gave the Lord joy. You know, and this is a parable for us to see what the kingdom of heaven is like, how God sees us. It gives him joy when we give him our all. And it was just the same reward for both of them. I read this story once about Mother Teresa. She's out there in the middle of India in such a poor country, in a poor area, and she's just working in a hospital, and they didn't even have money for medicine, and people were dying everywhere, but she was caring for them. And this young reporter comes in, and he says, you know, just see all the suffering, all the pain, and all the dying. How do you feel about that if you can't see success? And Mother Teresa turned around to this young man and she said, I'm not called to be successful. I'm called to be faithful. God just calls us to be faithful. We need to be faithful with what he's given us. Now, the third servant in the story didn't see any increase. They were afraid to plant their seed. They were afraid to try something new. They were afraid to use their talent in case it didn't succeed, so they buried it. They didn't plant a seed, so there was nothing to grow. There was no increase. There was no blessing for them or for anybody else. I think perhaps this person had fear of failure. So here's another question today. Are we afraid to fail? Are we afraid that if we do something, it's not going to work out? Well, please note this. If we never step out in faith, we'll never grow. We'll never see the increase. We won't grow to our full potential. You might say, well, Sandra, how can I tell if I'm growing? Just look back. Look back and see how far you've come. How far have you come in the last 6 months or the last 6 years? Look back and see what you've gained and how you've grown. Look where you were a year ago and you'll see where you are now. And if you've learned anything, then you're growing. Even if it's been a negative experience, but you've learned from it, then you've grown. I think I've learned more from the negative situations in life than I've ever done from the road that was easy and pleasant and positive. But you know, when it's tough and you're going through the valley and you're trying to push a boulder uphill, that's when you know who you are. That's when you know who God is. And that's when you can learn things. So sometimes it might have been a tough few years, but have you learned, then you're growing. And that's great. And that's all God asks of us. Right, so the third servant buried his talents. There was no growth and it died. So don't bury your gifts and talents. Use them for God, no matter how small they are. And don't let the enemy tell you that they're not enough, that they're insignificant. Let's have a wee quick look at King David. David was extremely small compared to Goliath. He's just a young man of about 18, and Goliath was a seasoned warrior. So here's this young shepherd boy versus a mighty warrior. But David was talented with a sling. I don't know about anybody here, but did you make your own sling as a kid? Because my brothers did. They got the rubber bands out, you know, and they pelted stones and rocks and whatever at the other boys in the village, and they would make a sling. And you could even buy a sling in the toy shop, you know, a sort of Y shape with the rubber going around it, maybe a little strip of leather at the back. But David was talented with a toy. It wasn't much more than a toy. It could be used as a weapon because, you know, you'd get around. Don't you put stones in that sling, you'll take somebody's eye out. It could be dangerous, but it was not much more than a toy. But in the hand of David, who was in the hand of God, it killed the giant. It killed the enemy because it was God's talent that was on David. I'm sure his brothers were laughing at him. I'm sure King Saul at the time, his knees would have been knocking together thinking, I can't believe I've sent an 18-year-old down into the valley to face this giant who's about over 3 meters tall and he's got a sling. And that's it. Doesn't have the latest weapons. He's not got a machine gun. He's not got a sword. He's got a sling in his hand and 5 stones. I can't believe I've done that. And his brothers would have been standing going, this is a complete embarrassment. Send that boy home because this is never, ever going to work. David used a small talent that God had given him, and God blessed him with increase. He won the battle. He defeated the giant. He became king eventually, and is world famous even today. King David's world famous. So many countries will know the story of David and Goliath. They'll know all about it. He's world famous. I want us to note this. We wouldn't have heard of David if he'd stayed home with the sheep. He wouldn't be anywhere. He wouldn't have been King David. I've stood at his tomb in Jerusalem. This massive big stone thing, and it's got all the names of the lineage on it. You know, it's got Obed and Jesse and David engraved in the stone down the side. We wouldn't have even heard of him. He wouldn't have a huge big stone burial place if he hadn't been the king. If he'd stayed home with the sheep, that would have been the end of him and his sling. If he believed he had no gift and no talent and nothing to offer, he wouldn't have planted a seed to bring down a giant and save a nation. But David walked forward with confidence because he knew he had something in God. It might not seem like much, but it was something and God could use it. And as he stood there with his sling and he picked up the 5 stones and he had them in his hand, he knew that God could bless them. He had a seed. He had a seed and he planted it. right in the middle of Goliath's forehead. And anyway, he fell to the ground, he cut his head off. He knew he had something. So here's a prophetic word for someone today. Stop going around believing you have nothing to offer. Just stop it. Because we all have something. Another quote from Andrew Womack. Those who are afraid to try because they might fail have already failed. If David thought, I can't do this, I'm going to fail. This is a mighty warrior. I'm a wee boy with a sling and a stone, I can't do it. He would have already failed. Don't be afraid. Believe you have gifts. Don't bury them and use them. Barry Bennett says this, what you keep is as big as it will ever be, but what you give cheerfully releases increase. So if I keep that £10 in my pocket, it's as big as it will ever be. In fact, if I keep it for long enough, it will depreciate in value. But if I hand it over where it can gain interest, then it will grow and increase. God is a God of increase. He wants to bless our talents, but we need to use them. Neil has a guitar, as you can see. He's got a guitar. When we first got married, Neil had a guitar. The same box and everything, had it for 35 years or more. Same box for the guitar. And so he brought that into our marriage. He could play a couple of chords. It would gather dust a little bit. He used to sometimes have a little play around with the chords with the music leader in that church. Then we moved over here, and that box with the guitar in it went under the bed in the spare room and stayed there for about 15 years, just gathering dust. It was just sitting there, not being used. And then one day he took it out and decided, I am going to play this, I am going to learn this, and God gave the increase to what you see today of him playing that guitar. So don't bury your talents, use them, and God will make them grow. It's never too late. We know someone who we believe God spoke to him about 40 years ago to work in a certain area within his church. But career took over, family took over, and now in his 60s, he's retired, and guess what? He's working in that area, in the church he's in today, because the call on his life never went away. It was still there, the area that he desired to work in. There's honey in the tombs of the kings in Egypt and maybe also in the pyramids that's still edible. It's been sitting there for 3,000 years. Could I just say, don't wait that long. Don't wait that long. But that honey is still edible today. It's never too late to plant what God's told you to plant and watch it grow. It's never too late to help someone else use their talents. As we get more experience in God and grow older in God, we should be blessing the younger people and teaching them and bringing them on. Believe what God's told you to do, and then you will see it grow. Because what we plant grows, but what we keep dies. So step out in faith. Don't let your talents die. Use your giftings, use your words, use your love and your money, everything that God's blessed you with, all for God. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up.